Notes to a discussion of helping families with special needs children. Helping families with special needs children. You tell me, what is the most frequently asked question of an expectant parent? And isn't it this, what are you hoping for, a boy or a girl? Right? I mean, that everybody asks that question. Everybody responds exactly the same way. And then are you hoping for a boy or a girl? What does the person say? It doesn't matter as long as the baby is healthy. You ever thought about how much that would offend a parent of a special needs child? That whole interchange, I mean, how absolutely inane that interchange is. And I wonder if that doesn't reveal a fundamental belief that resides in the hearts of many of us. And that is that there are few things in the world worse than God allowing a person to parent a special needs child. The possibility of ourselves or someone that we love having a child with special needs, that is a powerful fear, isn't it? And I wonder also if there's a corresponding belief that if we ever found ourselves in that situation, that there wouldn't be the kind of help that we need. And honestly, that is an interesting concern, because in many churches there isn't any help. Let's just be honest about it. There isn't any help. That you may know that the incidence of divorce among parents with special needs children is dramatically higher than the incidence of divorce just across the population. Do you realize that? And many families with special needs children would tell you right now, there's no way I would ever think about going to church. They might say, I tried it a few times, but the church had no idea what to do with me. They had no idea what to do with my child. They weren't prepared. They weren't ready. It was an absolute fiasco. And families with special needs children will tell you, they already got enough fiascos going on, okay? It's not like they need another one of those. And day after day after day is hard enough, just navigating the medical community, navigating the educational community, navigating et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why in the world would you bang your head against the nearest masonry wall again by walking into the church house if the church is not prepared to serve you? And if the church either has no idea what they're going to do, or they even act like it would really be better if you would just not come. So that's what we have to talk about. How do we, in counseling, how do we in our churches help families with special needs children? Now, probably a couple of disclaimers. One, I think many of you probably know that my wife and I have an adopted son who has special needs. His name is Andrew, and here's a couple of pictures of Andrew when he was younger. He's not that little anymore, I can assure you, but and that picture, just the size of that phone, kind of tips it off that one's been taken a while, but those are some great pictures of Drew for sure, or Bear. If you really want to get him happy, you can call him Bear. This is a picture of him that was taken more recently. This was taken this summer, so that's pretty much what Drew looks like now. Drew's 19 years old now, and so just to give you some context, and I'll be talking about him as we go through this particular presentation. Also, I want you to know I did recently write a booklet on this topic, Your Special Needs Child, and this probably isn't going to come out right, but I'm just going to tell you, generally speaking, when I write something, I'm not particularly happy with it. I'm actually very happy with this. I did like the way this came out, and I'm hoping and praying that this is going to be helpful to in fact, I just had someone, this just came out, and I just had a parent of a special needs child contact my wife and ask for a handful of them because she wants to distribute them in the circle that she runs in with other special needs parents. That's exactly what I hope happens. And I was telling some folks in track 5, and I want to be very careful about this because it can sound self-promoting or whatever. I really do want to encourage many of you in this room to write. It's incredible how God can use a writing ministry. And you look at somebody like Elise, I'm so glad that Elise is here, but God has blessed her writing ministry in so many ways. I am helped greatly by her writing ministry. And I do wonder sometimes if there aren't at a conference like this more people that God wants to write, and just for whatever reason you haven't yet. And I want to encourage you to do that. There's actually some publishers that are at this conference, and the reason they're at this conference is because they're trying to meet people who are interested in providing, writing, biblical counseling resources. So don't think, well, nobody wants to publish it. That is not true. In fact, we have publishers contacting our staff. There's no way we could possibly write everything that these publishers are wanting us to do. It's just absolutely impossible. And that's why we have a training program like this, in part, is to encourage people to gain counseling skills, to be motivated to continue to study, to apply that to your own heart and life, to apply it in your counseling, and then to get it out there. And maybe that's what God would have for you. You know, I published that book on handling your past biblically or whatever. I guess I don't know the title of the book. Thank you. By this time of the week, my mind gets mushy, and I'm already getting there, and it's like Tuesday. That's not a good sign. But no voice, no brain. Putting your past in its place. Thank you very much, Rhonda. But anyway, it's just been fascinating how that book has already bubbled up in places. Like, I got a series of two pictures and a text from a couple of our former members who were out in Kansas. And the first picture was of a truck stop that was such a nasty-looking place. It's the kind of place you wouldn't have stopped even if you had to use the restroom, like, really badly. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of a place. That was the first picture. The second picture was they went inside, apparently, and, well, I'm not even going to say apparently, but anyway, they went inside, and there was a little book rack there, and there was my book for sale in that truck stop in Kansas. And I have no idea how that happened. Trey Garner, our children, our pastor of children's ministries, he and his wife were vacationing this summer in Wisconsin. They went in a Five and Dime secondhand store and saw a copy of my book. And actually took a little picture of my book on the past and brought it back. Frankly, it's offensive to me that book would be for sale in a Five and Dime store secondhand. I'm going to be in Atlanta next weekend, and so I was talking to the guy there about some of the travel details, and he said, hey, you know, I was just in Publix, getting some groceries at Publix. Your book's for sale in Publix. It's like, what are you talking about in Publix, like next to the bananas? I mean, how could that even be? And I'm not saying that makes me a Mr. Big Britches. That's the whole point. I'm anything but a Mr. Big Britches, and God can use writing. And so I would encourage you, if you're kind of on the cusp, get off the cusp. Do whatever God would have you to do, and if writing is part of it, I really want to encourage you to do that, and that's why I wrote this book, and I'm hoping it's going to be a blessing to people who are ministering to folks with special needs. Now, as far as this presentation, the last thing I want to do is sugarcoat this topic. I don't want to minimize the tremendous difficulties that families with special needs have. Now, honestly, I think that would be terribly offensive to them. But we have to ask the question, where do we go? Where do we go when it comes to helping a person who has a child with special needs? A lot of places we could turn in the Scripture. But the passage I want to organize our time around is this one right here. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Think about that. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Rest twice in the text. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to suggest to you that this passage gives us several foundational truths that can help us serve families with special needs children well. It starts right here, just to encourage them to be honest and authentic about the pain. God does not expect people to wear a plastic smile over a broken heart. And let's face it, every parent has dreams and aspirations for their children. The thoughts of your child playing sports. The thoughts of your child getting married and have a family. The thoughts of your child caring for you when you're old. Do you realize many times those dreams are dashed if you have a special needs child? Their child may never be able to speak. That child's lifestyle and life expectancy might be greatly diminished. That child may never be able to return love. It may never be able to send a Valentine's Day card. It may never be able to play sports, climb a tree, read a book, go out on a date. Many special needs children will require lifetime care. For example, when I do my retirement planning, I often review that the first of the year. I'm not planning for retirement for two. I'm planning for retirement for three. And the third one will probably live a lot longer than us, my wife and me, and I'm responsible to figure that out from a retirement perspective. When Drew first received his diagnosis,